like to hold the spear. You need to try sometimes.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading that in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sound like the resurrection. That sound like Jesus, don't it? That sound like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is, his presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too. Come on. Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God ain't going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means that you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to receive your inheritance from God. You qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have had to snatch his blood away and undo what he did, but he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did, and the devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on, the longer his list was getting. You know, you keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started off, he'd have 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that there are roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out two more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, said, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you the floodgates open. Really, everything's really rolled up into one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that other people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go ahead, each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay. Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind, and you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing. And talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you have to watch what you say. All right, now listen to this right here. Now, all of this is real good, but I want to focus on verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? There was a few of y'all wasn't here. All right, I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now. Everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, with the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or to see clear, what do I need to do? I got to come to somebody that's got the light. right? Because why? I'll be able to what? I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there in your own, at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light, but you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class, you're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off, because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to let, you say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light. Right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this row start talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You're putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did, then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least be in the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit. He has qualified us, or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're gonna step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we really need to be thinking about what can I do to glorify my Father? Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him. Because what I receive from him is going to change my life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He have made us ready to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints who live in the light. In other words, you've been qualified to receive everything that Jesus died to do.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old, the best of the new.
The best variety in music.
Man, great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime, 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
You turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. I want us to commence reading, if you will, at verse 23. Paul is speaking and he says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. Just a little while, I want to talk this morning about he lives. What does that mean to you? He lives. What does that mean to you? First of all, my brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this wonderful day of Jesus' resurrection and Jesus being alive, it is a day refreshed in the hearts and the minds of the believers about that day of salvation we have once experienced with the Lord in our initial encounter with him, and how it originally and forever changed our lives. And so every time we come to this day of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, it brings us to another point, another elevation in our revelation of what his being alive means to us. Well, you know, salvation, the initial point and entrance into the family of God, is where most saints and most believers stop. It's amazing why I understand, but for so long did not understand, why believers did not really get the full understanding and the message of what Resurrection Sunday really means. I know nearly 2,000 years ago, he got up that Sunday morning, early that Sunday morning, and to some of you, that's just old news. To some of you, that's stale. For some of you, that's just going through the motions. But I would agree with that if salvation and simply being saved were all that was to it. And even if that were all to it, that still would be something to shout about over and over again when you realize without him, a hell that was prepared for Satan and his angels would have also been made for you, since there would not have been a savior to redeem you from that plan. But it is so much more that God offers to us in this salvation that we've experienced through the Lord Jesus, so much more that many of us miss out on, and that's why Easter is no more than fine clothes and pretty hats to most of us. That's why it's no more than Easter Bunny and candies to most of us. That's why it's just going to church on one of those Sundays, those of you who don't come but a few times a year come. It's because you really don't realize what it's entailed, what is involved, and what it means for the believer. Now let's look at the word, because I want to go back, if you will, and just set this up. Let's go back to John, if you will, chapter 14. Now look at John chapter 14. Jesus is preparing the disciples. And this is what he says in verse 19 of the 14th chapter of St. John. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live. Ye shall also live. Now listen to what he's saying to them now. He says, in a little while the world, who does not understand him, who does not receive him, who does not really know him, will no longer see him, because he's going to go by way of Calvary to lay down his life. But when he lays down his life, they're going to think that that's the end of his life. And because they really don't know that he came down to lay down his life, that after 3 days he's going to take his life back up again. Now, they are not really going to see him. And that's not just about the resurrection experience, because Jesus is talking about so much more than just seeing him in the flesh. He's not talking about just seeing him the 40 days that he rises and walks among planet Earth before he catches a cloud back to heaven and goes to be with the Father. He's talking about seeing them in the faith realm. Seeing them on a whole nother level. He's talking about seeing them in the spirit realm, which is so far so much more important than just looking at him physically. So I want you to look at John 16 and verse 16 and see what Jesus says. He says, and he's talking about the prediction of his death and resurrection. He says, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now I want you to turn to Hebrews right quick, the first chapter, and I want you to look at verse 3. Now keep in mind what Jesus has said, and God has based everything of that he has said upon his word. Matter of fact, let's begin at verse 1, and it says, God, who at sundry or many times and in divers or various manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Here's verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, that's the Calvary experience and then resurrection morning, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now keep in mind what the writer of the Hebrews has just said. He's just made clear that everything that exists and everything that is hinged upon the word of God is hinged upon the power of his word. He has spoken by his word. God has used Jesus Christ to be the word personified, and then the revelation of what shall happen from Jesus onto eternity is held up by the power of his word. Now, if you understand the word, and if you understand, as we go back to Acts chapter 17, the word says in verse 16, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Everything that is here, everything that will be, has been ordered and organized by the Lord, has been appointed for a set time, has been given a boundary out of which and over which no man can pass. And only what we do in the time that we have will determine our destiny and where we spend eternity. You didn't have nothing to do with your coming here. and you won't have a whole lot to do with your leaving here. But what you do have to do with is the time between your coming and your going. That's the only thing that you really got to